listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm also Abby. We're librarians at the Central Library.
In this episode, we'll talk with JMRL Young Adult Services Manager Tim Carrier about this year's Summer Challenge.
But before we get to that, as always, we've got Book Chat. Okay, so this week I'll get us started with Book Chat, Abby. It's been a while since we've discussed our reads, but what I'm going to talk about today is The Book of Longings by Sue Monk Kidd. And this is a relatively new book. I think it was published in 2020, so I had to wait a long time on the library holds list. So I would encourage you, if this sounds interesting to you, go put your name on that holds list. I know there still is one. So I'll start off by just introducing our listeners to the general premise of the book, which is, what if Jesus had a wife? So that kind of premise alone was enough to intrigue me and interest me to want to read this book. But I started it and I spent the beginning of the book really just kind of trying to get through it because I was so interested to see, like, what was Jesus going to be like? So I was waiting until he made his appearance. I wanted to see how the author was going to portray him and also their marriage, because that's the premise, he has a wife. So would they be celibate in marriage? Would there be children? How is Jesus going to be talking, acting, thinking? I was interested to know if we were going to witness biblical events. Like, there was just, she could have spun this story so many ways. And I was just really interested to see how she made the character of Jesus. But we start off just following Anna, who is to become Jesus's wife. And that does not happen immediately. So I was waiting and waiting for Jesus to appear. And in the end, we did not see the biblical events, which was a little bit disappointing, because I thought that maybe some of the neatest thing to see would be to find out how Sue Monk Kidd was going to portray, for example, biblical miracles. Mm-hmm. And she does include biblical people in the story. So there's Mary, there's Martha, there's Lazarus. And Lazarus is talked about all throughout the book, but there's no mention of Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead, for example. Jesus, in another part of the book, he makes a point to tell Anna, his wife, a story about his childhood, but he doesn't make any reference to, for example, the famous biblical story of him being left in the temple during Passover. So someone on Goodreads called this biblical fan fiction, which I found to be funny, but also kind of not true, because there are almost zero Bible stories actually in this book. So the very few that we see are Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist and also his crucifixion, but both are really not at all true to the biblical story, which I guess would make it fan fiction. But if you're thinking this is going to be a retelling of one of the Gospels with Jesus having a wife, that's really not it. The focus is Anna. And I would say, like, at first I thought, okay, I'm disappointed that Anna is not present for Jesus's public ministry. But after some reflection, because, you know, my original thinking was, oh, I can't wait to see Jesus's public ministry, like the time when he is an adult and, you know, the Gospels. But after some reflection, I realized that that portion of the book was actually some of the most interesting. So before I continue, let me just jump in here and give a Cliff Notes version of Anna. She is rebellious, she is ambitious, she has a brilliant mind, she's daring, she's cunning, she's kind of deceitful. She engages in a lot of scholarly pursuits, she loves reading and writing, and she writes narratives about neglected and silenced women, including herself. So I'm not going to spoil what happens with Anna or some of the other main characters that she travels and adventures with. But she does go on a number of adventures, and she travels, she encounters new people, she solves mysteries, she's scheming, and all of that is super readable. And that's all happening kind of parallel to Jesus's public ministry, which we don't see on the page. But once I'd realized that I wasn't going to get more of Jesus, I just really turned myself to Anna. And I began picking up these breadcrumbs that were teasing me into wondering what's going to happen next with her. And I just started immersing myself in the world that I was given, which was a historical fiction novel. And it's about a woman's life 2000 years ago. So that in itself was pretty fun to read. The dialogue was really distinct. It just felt much more formal and precise than the way we speak today. You know, we were getting all kinds of distinct clothing, like the headscarves, tunics, cloaks. And Sue Monk Kidd was just describing the public and private spaces really vividly, from those cleansing mikvah baths, you know, to even their sleeping mats and the preventative contraceptive oils and the rocky landscapes. So, and there's a lot about family, friendship, female characters and how they relate to each other. A lot of contractual things like when the characters become betrothed. So really I found myself most interested in just the fact that it was a historical fiction novel from 2000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was neat. So I wanted to share with you guys too, this quote from the author. This is what she said she hoped that readers would get out of this story. So I wanted to share that with you before I told you kind of my takeaway of what I got out of it. She wrote, "I hope readers will consider their own longings, the ones that, like Anna's, are held deepest inside. I would like it if a conversation got stirred in them about bringing forth their own largeness. And as with every novel, I hope readers will take away an empathetic language or experience, sorry, to enter the lives of the characters and feel what it's like, for instance, to be relegated to the periphery or to love someone greatly." And that is really what I felt like I got out of this story. Well, in a way, actually, because my personal, I'm interested in journaling and reading and writing, so I could kind of relate to the character of Anna. And I felt like I learned from this book even more deeply the power of writing and how that act can play such a huge role in our growth and development and our healing and in our identity. So one of my biggest takeaways, honestly, was a drive to continue journaling like the character of Anna, and also like Anna, to attempt to organize my own writing, because that's a part of her world and probably should be a part of mine. And then it also piqued my interest in maybe reading more about the ancient world, because like I said, that's really what it ended up being for me, more so than a fan fiction book about Jesus. It was more a historical fiction book about that world. So I had never read anything from that time period, and it kind of makes me interested to learn more. And then lastly, I felt like this book was a great combination of tragic occurrences. You know, there's a lot of grief and loss and suffering. And there's tons of very wise women in this book. The way that they console each other through their words and through their presence is really beautiful. It's memorable. And it's informative. I like to say that, you know, fiction can really teach us so much and you can learn from it, even if it's not necessarily, you know, it's fiction, so it's not factual, but you can still learn from it because of the truths of our emotions or of our lives and the way that we experience the world. So even just seeing another character's life played out and how they deal with their own grief and losses can help me think about how I live my own life. So that's really what I got out of it. It was an interesting read. I was hooked in, but in the end, it wasn't so much about Jesus, but more actually about his wife. So, which was great.
Yeah, that's super cool. So it sounds like you were expecting it to be like, when she asked the question, "What if Jesus had a wife?" You were thinking, what would that life together look like, and how Jesus's life is portrayed in the Bible, how would that be portrayed from the perspective of his wife? But instead what you got is, who would this woman be? And you got her story, which clearly includes him, but it's more, it just centers her and her experiences. And that's great. I love that she, you know, asked that question, but her answer wasn't just, you know, well, this is how it impacted Jesus's life. That sounds very interesting. I like that she focused on the actual person, right? The who she would be and how she would have lived. That's cool.
Yeah, really hit the nail on the head there, because, you know, our natural instinct is, you know, whatever religion we may identify with, but, you know, Jesus is a, people know who he is. So you're thinking, okay, the book is going to be about him, and it's going to be her imagining, you know, what this story is, that no one has ever heard this story, whether he had a wife or not, no one knows, as she says. But she could tell that story from his perspective, even if it's from the wife's perspective. I did anticipate that it was going to be mostly about him, but you're so right, because I even remember a line from the book is coming from me to me, and it's that Anna is, you know, she's wrestling with something, and her aunt, who's a really wise figure in her life, says, Jesus has his destiny, but you, Anna, you have a destiny too. I'm not quoting it, obviously, but it's just that moment. There were many moments like that where the author was subtly reminding us that Anna is her own character. She has her own destiny. This is her story. So that was great.
Yeah, that's really cool. So much of what's written about religious figures, right? I'm sure there's even fiction involving religious figures, but I'm sure if they're a major religious figure like Jesus, they must always be the main character. So to see them as a supporting character is such a fascinating idea. I'm very intrigued. Yeah, sounds really interesting.
And I would like to learn more about Sue Monk Kidd as well, because apparently she has kind of this background of like spiritual reading or writing, and also like a very strong feminist perspective. So I've read Secret Language of Bees, Secret Life of Bees. Now I'm blanking on the title.
Life of Bees, I think.
Secret Life of Bees, yeah. I've read that, as probably lots of people have, but I haven't read any of her other books, and I don't know much about her personal life or her scholarly life, besides just I read that tidbit, something about she has a very feminist lens, but she's interested in exploring the religious realm. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see more in the same vein from her, exploring other major religious figures. Well, that's cool. My book chat is on something completely different. I won't say it couldn't be more different, because, you know, it's not sci-fi, but you know, it's pretty different. I read You Have a Match by Emma Lord, which is a new young adult novel. It's realistic fiction, it's contemporary, and very good news. Our main character is a rising high school senior named Abby. So check that off for the reading character.
Good job, Abby, you did it. I have totally failed, so good job for you.
I don't remember if that's why I picked up the book initially or if it was just a happy coincidence. But we can check the box for the reading resolution where we would read books with characters named Abby. Anyway, she's actually finishing out her junior year when we meet her, but most of the book takes place over summer before senior year. So as we start, Abby and her two best friends, Connie and Leo, decide to take DNA tests. So Leo is a transracial adoptee. He's Filipino, but his parents are white Americans. And they've been doing this ancestry project in school. So he, you know, feels compelled to take a DNA test to see if he can find any information about his birth family that way. And Abby and Connie both take tests as well, so as just kind of to support him. And in the meantime, there's this kind of tension between Abby and Leo, or an awkwardness. She's been that's existed for a while because she's been struggling to get over her super secret crush on him that maybe everybody knows about anyway, but obviously would mess up the friendship dynamic. So anyway, Leo doesn't get any hits with his DNA test, but Abby does. She discovers that she has a sister, Savvy, who is less than 2 years older than her, has both of the same birth parents, but was adopted at birth. Yeah, so Abby at this point is 16, 17 maybe. She's grown up, she's got a gaggle of younger brothers, she's always been the big sister. So it's really kind of shocking to her to find out that she has, that her parents had another child that they gave up for adoption at birth shortly before she was born. She feels weird about it, so she doesn't tell Leo or Connie, doesn't really decide to keep it a secret, just kind of accidentally keeps it a secret. And Savvy asks if they can meet. She sends her a message on the site where you register your DNA test. So they do meet up to begin kind of trying to puzzle out why they've never heard of each other before now. Because Savvy has known she was adopted all her life. Her parents were very open about that. And Savvy ends up convincing Abby to come with her to summer camp, which Savvy works at, but it's for like high school aged people. It's not like a little kid summer camp. And so Abby jumps at this opportunity. Connie and Leo were already had big summer plans, so she was going to be on her own anyway. And this seems like a good opportunity to kind of get away from her parents for a little while. But summer camp isn't what she expects it to be. She and Savvy spend more time not speaking to each other than they do actually trying to figure out or make sense of their kind of shared history or covered up shared history, right? And then Abby also finds herself in something of a very confusing, poorly communicating love triangle. Her friendships with Connie and Leo almost blow up completely, and she is fighting with her parents about the summer school classes they didn't know she was actually supposed to be taking. So there's she seems to just be blowing up her life entirely. It's not the relaxing, fun summer camp experience she thought it was going to be. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I did enjoy this a lot. It kept me turning pages long after I'd intended to take a break. There was that very interesting kind of dual adoption storylines that I thought was fascinating, but we didn't learn as much about Leo as I would have liked to, or as much as Leo would have liked to have learned, I think. You know, the romantic tension is a must have for a coming of age young adult story. And there's this fun sort of Parent Trap-esque element that kept me invested through the end. But I would say the big thing that this book had me thinking about was, you know, just friends and family, where the line is between those, what causes that line to blur, and what can cause those ties to snap. So I think it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was fun, but there was a lot of drama in it. I recommend it for anyone who's looking for like a summer read, a coming of age story, but one that isn't just straight fluff. There is fun stuff, but there are very real and very raw emotions in it as well.
That sounds great. And it's really true. I didn't make that connection, but when you said Parent Trap, I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. I would be flashing back to that as well, because I watched that movie so many times as a kid. It was just really fun, especially because it's the kind of separated sisters and the summer camp. I mean, I know it's not one for smaller kids, but.
And they're not twins, yeah. But they're so close in age that that's what really has them kind of thrown for a loop.
And you said, okay, very different. But one thing that I probably failed to mention about my book that might hook in readers who are interested in your book as well is that another thing that Sue Monk Kidd said about The Book of Longings is that there is actually more sisterhood in it than there is in The Secret Life of Bees. So if you're interested in seeing Anna, wife of Jesus, make all of these kind of female friendships and really form her own family, you put it well when you said that. I think you'll also find that in my book, which is pretty cool. So that's one thing that they have in common.
That's great. Yeah, that was definitely the overarching theme of this one, I think. So yeah, a little bit, something very contemporary and something very historical for people who are looking for kind of explorations of friendship. And so again, the title of the book I read was You Have a Match, and that's by Emma Lord. And what was the title of yours?
Yeah, mine was The Book of Longings by Sue Monk Kidd.
Book of Longing, right. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing all that about that book. That sounds amazing. I'm going to add it to my to-read list, even though it hadn't been on there before. Next up, you'll hear my brief discussion with JMRL's Young Adult Services Manager, Tim Carrier, about what summer reading will look like this year and how we can participate in the annual Summer Challenge. Okay, welcome. Thank you for joining me, Tim. I'm excited to talk about the Summer Challenge.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So our first question is, given the kind of current state of flux that the world is really in, is our Summer Challenge still happening this year?
Yes, I'm happy to say it is still happening. It will run from June 1st to August 31st. The theme that we're using is Tails and Tales. The first one is T-A-I-L-S, the second one T-A-L-E-S, and that'll be happening at all JMRL locations this summer.
Excellent. And can you tell us a little bit what's different with the Summer Challenge this year than in years pre-pandemic?
Well, as you surely remember from last year and our participants last year, remember, we did have to scale back a bit last year due to the pandemic. And this year, even though it's still on a slightly smaller scale, we're able to bring a few things back that we couldn't do last year. Once again, this year, each participant will have three challenge sheets to complete during the course of the summer. And as usual, there will be a prize earned for completing each sheet with a grand prize entry. One thing we were able to bring back this year was a little bit of an additional incentive for those who want to go beyond the basic requirements for getting a grand prize entry. As usual, if you complete five challenges on the sheet, you earn the prize and you get the grand prize entry. But also, if you complete 10 challenges or more, you'll get a second grand prize entry as well. So a little bit of extra incentive for those who want to go beyond that.
Excellent. Yes. I love an extra chance to win something big.
Right.
And so I know you already mentioned the dates, but can you tell us again when it officially starts?
Yes. June 1st is the official start date, and we're hoping to actually have the challenge sheets available for people in late May so they can get a start on working on the challenges. And then after June 1st, that's when people can really begin to get into the program, begin picking up prizes for sheets they've completed and so forth.
Excellent. So I know you've already mentioned challenge sheets, but how do we participate this year? And do we have to come in person, or can we participate from afar?
Right. There's actually a little bit of both. The challenge sheets will be available to pick up at the library, and that can be done either in-house or through curbside service. And soon you'll also be able to print them out from the website online. And the summer portion of the website is actually jmrl.org/summer. And soon that will also be there so that people can print out the sheets online.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll put that link in the show notes for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you can come into the library to get your prize, and we'll have an online form like we did last year that people can fill out virtually as they complete the challenge sheets, and that will enter them into the grand prize drawing. And people can do that virtually, or they can come into the library and maybe ask a staff member to assist them, or call the library and ask for that as well. And then grand prize winners will be notified by phone or email after the program. And of course, they can come into the library to pick up their prizes.
Okay, excellent. So it sounds like there are some options there, even for people who aren't comfortable coming into the library yet. They'll still be able to at least complete the challenge from home without coming inside.
Exactly.
Very nice. And is there a certain age that you have to be to participate?
Any age is welcome. Children, teens, adults, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to participate. Of course, very young children can participate with a parent or an older sibling. And of course, each of them can complete the challenges together. And then both earn the prizes as a result. So while each person has their own challenge sheets, they can work together as a group, as a family, a group of friends, and all of them earn the prizes for doing the challenges together.
Excellent. Is there a specific kind of reading material that you have to choose?
It all counts. For the reading challenges, you can choose whatever books or magazines or articles, audiobooks, however you enjoy your reading, you get to choose that. The challenges are broad enough so that they're open to interpretation. So there will be a lot of different ways that you can fulfill the challenges, something that will surely match your reading interests. And of course, a number of the challenges are not necessarily book related. They may be information related. They may be activity related. So there are many different ways that you can earn the prizes in addition to reading.
Excellent. You've already touched on prizes a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit more about what the prizes are and the ways people pick them up?
Right, absolutely. The for the adults, the prizes for each challenge sheet will be a free book. So they earn a free book after completing each of the three challenge sheets. For teens, for middle and high school students, the first prize for the first sheet is a carabiner light up pen. And then for the second and third sheet, they will earn a free book the way the adults do. Children, grades 5 and younger, for the first sheet will earn a some sidewalk chalk, and then they will earn a free book for the second and the third sheets as well. Of course, patrons can pick up the prizes at the library. And as you mentioned at the beginning, with things having been in kind of a state of flux and the level of library services having evolved as the pandemic has been running its course, right now we're suggesting that when patrons are ready to pick up their prizes, that they contact the library for details on what the pickup options might be. And of course, as those things develop, we'll have updates on our website as well.
Excellent. That's good. So just in case things change at all, it's good to check in with us when you're ready to pick up your prize.
That's right. Absolutely.
Excellent. And so you've mentioned that there are extra chances to win grand prizes this year. Can you tell us what those grand prizes are?
Right. The grand prizes will be $50 gift cards to Barnes & Noble Bookstore, and there will be drawings at each location. There'll be a drawing for adults, there'll be a drawing for teens, and a drawing for kids. We'll notify the winners by email or phone sometime after August 31st, and then they can come to the library, to their local branch, to pick up the prizes and, you know, make those arrangements as they need to. And I should also mention that all the prizes that we're giving out for the summer are funded by our wonderful friends at the library.
Excellent. That is great. Oh, what a that grand prize option alone would be enough to get me to check off as many challenges as possible.
That's great.
And so you've mentioned that some of the challenges are reading related and some are information related and others are more like kinds of activities. Can you give us a couple examples of some challenges?
Sure. There are some challenges that we use every year. Things like visit the library, read for 30 minutes, tell a friend about the challenge. Those are things that repeat from year to year. Of course, many of this year's challenges also surround the Tales and Tales theme. So there's one that says read a folk tale from, and then it will give a different part of the world. Also things like sketch, draw, or paint your favorite animal. And some challenges also involve library services, such as calling the Dial a Story service or using What Do I Read Next to get recommendations for good titles.
Very nice. Oh, that's great. I love the draw your favorite animal one. And I'm sure that we have some books on how to draw animals and things that people could check out to help with that.
That's right.
Excellent. And do you personally have a favorite challenge that you're looking forward to?
I've always liked the choose your own challenge. I like the idea that it gives the participant the option to think a little bit about, you know, what kind of challenges they would like to complete. Of course, I like the visit the library challenge, not surprisingly. And obviously, in this situation that we're in right now, of course, visiting the library includes coming into the library, but also taking advantage of remote services as well.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a lot of things people can find on our website, including lots of ebooks and downloadable audiobooks and all of that. So
that's right. And all of that counts.
Movies, right?
That's right. All of that counts.
Excellent. Well, this is great. You've got me really looking forward to the summer challenge. And I just have one final question for you. And as a repeat guest on the podcast, I know that you are very familiar with this question by now, but can you tell us what you are reading right now?
Okay. Well, actually, one that I've recently completed, I'll mention to you, is the latest book from the author of young adult fiction, Angie Thomas, that is Concrete Rose. In her first book, The Hate U Give, of course, Star's father, Maverick, was a very significant character in the story as well, and you know, his relationship with his daughter and with his family. And in this book, we get to read about his teenage years and read a little bit about the experiences that shaped his life. So it was interesting to read about him at that aspect of his life, at that period of his life, after having read about him as a parent. So it was a very interesting read. I enjoyed it as much as I did The Hate U Give.
That's great. I had forgotten that that had already come out, so I'm gonna have to add that to my to be read pile immediately.
Great.
Thank you, Tim. That's all that I have for you today. But I'm so glad that we get to share this little summer reading preview with our listeners.
I'm glad too. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate.
So much, Tim, for answering our questions before summer reading. This will be a great year for animal lovers especially. I'm looking forward to participating in the events this summer. I think it will be a great way for me to reinvigorate my reading goals and help me read new things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it as well and seeing how it's going to kind of stretch me to read things that weren't already in my plans. So at the time of this recording, JMRL is expecting to move to tier 2 of our COVID-19 response plan on Monday, May 17th. As we know, details can change quickly, so we encourage you to check your branch's details on the JMRL website. We will include a link to information about each branch in our show notes.
This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. Please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss, or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back soon with more content. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.